name is Stephen Gibson?
Yes.
And you're with the American Friends Service Committee?
Yes, I'm employed by American Friends Service Committee. The action was not, I was not in my official capacity.
I see. So, can you tell me a little bit about the action and why you did it and how it occurred?
Yes, we had been, a group of us had been talking for several months about the need to really make a strong statement against the Iraq War. We wanted to do more than just hold up a sign on the street. We wanted to really put ourselves on the line to make a statement against this war. And we, you know, we feel that the people who have power in stopping this war are the political leaders. The politicians, the people who are in power in the United States, have the ability to stop the war. And that's why we chose Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, to make our statement to at her office, to make our statement at her office in Los Angeles, and really request that she speak out against the war and that she vote against, you know, funding for the war.
And can you tell me a little bit about how the protest occurred and what you experienced?
Yes, we met at a church nearby. We met there and assembled coffins that were supplied to us by Veterans for Peace. We received a truckload of coffins, some assembled, some not assembled, and we assembled the boxes and put the American flags on about 50 of them, and we draped some of them with black to represent civilian deaths, and then we loaded some of the coffins back on the truck and carried about five, let's see, we carried six flag draped coffins and two black draped coffins from the church down, it was on Selby, from Selby and Santa Monica Boulevard, down Santa Monica Boulevard to reach the senator's office about 11 o'clock in the morning. And then we put out the coffins we had on the sidewalk in front of her the entrance to the office. It's a private for-profit building where Feinstein rents office space. They're on the ground floor. We put out the coffins. There were already a lot of police inside the building entrance. They were stationed inside the building entrance, I guess, to prevent people from going in or react if there was something for them to do. I saw probably about 20 police at the very beginning when we arrived. Two trucks delivered, two big U-Haul trucks delivered the additional coffins. So we put out more than 50 coffins along the sidewalk directly in front of the building and along the side of the building. So it was on Santa Monica Boulevard and on Sepulveda. Then we had after it took a long time to assemble get all those laid out. Then we formed a circle with all the supporters that were there, and said a few words. And we actually had a written statement that Aisha Mason read out for us about why we were there and what our cause was. And then at that point it was six of us went over to form a circle directly in front of the doorway. We laid down in a circle with our heads touching one another, and after time we read the names of dead U.S. soldiers and held up cards with names of dead Iraqis and their age. And one after another, we did that. And after we did that, we lied down together quietly for 5-10 minutes. And then we stood up and gathered coffins and placed them along the doorway to prevent anyone going in or out. And sat in, each one of us sat in front of a coffin blocking the doorway. And the police started They gave a, I guess the a building owner came out with the police and notified us that we were on private, we were trespassing on private property, and he wanted us to leave. And if we didn't leave, we'd be arrested. And the policemen, one at a time, came up to each person and told them that they would be arrested immediately if they didn't leave, and then arrested them one at a time. And we were all taken to one police van and transported to the nearest police station.
I see. So the police were there waiting for you, so they knew you were coming?
Yes, we actually had called the police earlier in the week. Last week we had called them and said we were going to be there and that some of us might do something that would be trespassing.
I see. Why was it that you felt it was important to notify the police in advance?
Because we're concerned with the police, if they don't know what's happening, can overreact.
I see.
So we were concerned with the safety of the people who were involved with our action, and wanted them to know exactly what we were going to do, so there wouldn't be any misunderstandings.
I see. And were you treated well by the police?
I personally was. I think some people felt that the police were a little rougher. I personally was very well treated by the person who arrested me and took me to the car, the truck.
For some of our listeners who might not understand the philosophy and the tactics of non-violent civil disobedience, can you maybe run through some of the high points of what it's all about?
Yeah, one thing is the belief that we, by doing non-violence actions, are kind of putting ourselves on the line and intentionally causing difficulty for ourselves. We're part of what we're doing is saying that we are willing to sit here on this cold pavement for a while and face the chance of being arrested by the police and having the police take us to jail and having to spend some time in jail. We're willing to do that in the belief that that helps reach other people, that other people will be touched by that and pay more attention to our message. And ultimately, we believe that if it's done enough in the right way, that we can even convince people who are on the other side. For example, someone like Dianne Feinstein, there is a belief by us that perhaps we could even reach her. If we do enough of this, if we show that, you know, we're not about hurting other people, we're not about intentionally causing inconvenience to other people, but we're just saying that we're going to do this and put ourselves on the line and suffer so that she can hear our message, so that she can maybe be convinced that we have a point and that she needs to listen to us. That's part of the philosophy of nonviolent direct action. It was practiced by Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, and others.
So, you said that this was not part of the American Friends Service Committee, but it was part of another organization?
A group of us have been meeting together, and a lot of our meetings have been at the American Friends Service Committee office, so there is a small level of support coming from American Friends Service Committee, but it's not it's not directed by American Friends Service Committee staff. It's a group of people who have found each other and talking about nonviolence and through different nonviolent communities in Los Angeles, and are now working together to talk about that event and talking about future events and future campaigns and activities.
I see. So you're planning to go back?
We want to plan additional actions. We want to work with people who are really interested in moving Dianne Feinstein, changing her opinion, and that may be other groups. And we would be working with them. So we haven't planned a particular date or anything that would specifically be Dianne Feinstein. But there is a possibility that we and others will do something again at Dianne Feinstein's office.
I see.
Or in some way to affect her.
You know, there's been a lot of press recently about government spying on activists, wiretapping, a lot of unconstitutional activity on the part of the NSA. Are you at all concerned about this, or are you just resigned to the fact that you're just going to be organizing in the open and cooperating with the authorities?
Yeah, so far our particular philosophy has been that we are completely open, and that relates to how we, you know, we tell Dianne Feinstein what we're doing. We tell the police what we're doing. So at this point, we believe in kind of an open approach to our organizing. Our meetings are open. We announce them publicly. They're open to anybody who shows up. So we send out encoded emails so things can be read. So at this point in time, we believe in an open approach to our organizing and believe that what we're going to do, our strategy of how we hope to make change is not affected by the fact that the opposition knows what we're doing.
I see. So that you're, the idea of an infiltrator being able to sabotage your activity is a moot point because you're all open about what you're doing. You're not doing.
Yeah, at this point, we're not concerned about that. I mean, that possibly could change if something else happened, but at this point, we believe that the way we are, our open process is would be effective in terms of being able to accomplish our goals, even with opposition people attempting other things.
Right. So what can people do who are interested in supporting you, whether they're getting arrested or not, to provide support, or if they're interested in learning more about nonviolent civil disobedience?
Sure. We would love to get messages from people. They can send me email at sgibson@afsc.org, sgibson@afsc.org, or they can come to our meetings. We have another meeting scheduled for next Wednesday at the AFSC office in Pasadena. That's 980 North Fair Oaks Avenue at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 29th of March. That's our next meeting, and like I said, with email they can find out about future activities and how else they can get involved with us.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me. Is there anything you'd like to add in closing?
No, thank you very much. I'm really happy for the word to get out because I think we're successful by other people hearing about what we're doing and more people hearing about it and getting involved.